Amen. Let me get my first scripture on the board. On the board's high projector. Okay, Hebrews 6:12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience and promises. Did I put the wrong one? I put the wrong one. Okay. Anyways, it's a good one though. So do not, so the one I have, I'm sorry, back team, media team. So the one I have, I was supposed to give them was, my child, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one as he accepts as a child. Do you guys catch that? He punishes those he accepts as a child. How do you know you're a child of God? If he's punishing you, then you got something good going on. Amen? Amen. I remember my dad always liked to not punish us as kids. I remember my dad used to like to give us gifts. He used to like to give me and my sisters gifts as kids. It puts a smile on his face to this day. But he also liked to put us through little tests here and there with chores, and if you get A's and whatnot, then I'll give you this. So what did he like more than giving us gifts? What did he like more than testing us? My dad loved, absolutely loved, he still loves to give us gifts after we pass a test. That's his favorite thing to do. That's one of God's favorite things to do, is he likes to test us. And, well, not test us, but he allows us to be tested. He allows us to show our faith, our faithfulness to him, and he likes to bless that. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the woman at the well today, the Samaritan woman at the well. Oh, it's a good story. Sounds like you guys are excited. Yeah. I'm super excited. Let me get John 4:4 on the board. I like that 4:4 on the board. But he needed to go to Samaria. So he just finished this long trek, and he was tired, and I don't know if you guys know this, but Samaria was not a place that Jews wanted to go through. Like, that was like me trying to go through Las Vegas. I ain't going there unless God tells me to, which I feel like he did tell Jesus to go there. So say, sometimes you need to go there. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let me get my first point on the board. But then I was thinking, Jesus doesn't need to go through Samaria. Jesus got it going on. Jesus doesn't need all that. But the thing is that Samaria needs you. Jesus didn't need Samaria, but Samaria needed him to go through it. Amen? Samaria represents a difficult time. So when we're struggling with things and stuff like that, don't look at that as a woe is me and throw a pity party in that situation. Bless God in that situation. Praise God in that situation. Because those are the times that somebody else needs you. If you don't go through those times with patience and with a good attitude, and you don't come out stronger on the other side, somebody needs you to do that. If you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for somebody else. Amen? Amen. I remember when me and Miranda were starting to kind of like each other. Oh, hey, how's it going? Hi. Woo. I've told you guys this before, but I was waiting for her to enter her internship here at the church, because one of the requirements of the internship is no dating, because they want you to focus on God. A significant other could really distract you and throw you off course. But when your foundation is God, then that significant other is just a partner to go to God with. Amen, amen. So she had 4 months left, and I was real excited. And then she has a meeting with Pastor Drew. She comes out. She's like, God wants me to do another year. And I was like, yes. Amen. But I honestly feel if she didn't go through that, then our relationship would be a lot more difficult. Amen. So let me get John 4:9 on the board. So he gets to the well. And he says, let me get a glass of water. And this is her reply to him. How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? And a good way to like study the Bible, more or less, for lack of a better word, is to put yourself in their shoes without knowing the end of the story. Like, kind of like, well, how would I feel if I saw Jesus talking to not only a woman, and a woman was in society's eyes was like lower than dirt those days. It was bad. Jesus is all about equality. If you're for gender equality, you, like Christianity, a lot of people think that Christianity is against women. Jesus is all about women. Jesus is all about everybody. God is not a respecter of persons. Jesus loves everybody because God loves everybody. Amen? So at this point, I'm like, if I took myself in their shoes and didn't remember the ending, I'd be like, ooh, Jesus, what are you doing? She's gross. She's nasty. She has BO. She stinks. And so this is Jesus' reply to this question. For the next verse, John 4:10, please. If you knew the gift of God and who it was and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Oh, Jesus, I get it. You're looking out for the little guy. You're looking out for the outcast. Yeah, that nerdy guy that no one talks to. Yeah, you're his friend. Man, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I follow. Woo, you go, Jesus. So, and then John 9:13. So, and then after he says that to her, she replies, he says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. He's talking about, she asks him, she says, who are you then? Are you better than Jacob? Jacob's the guy who made the well. Are you better than Jacob? Are you better than Jacob who gave water to the nations? Because he made the well, so he kind of gave physical water to the nations. So she's still thinking in the physical realm. She's still thinking like what kind of water is this guy talking about? Let me get the next verse. And then he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, that guy will never thirst again. Ooh, that's good, right? Let me say it again. Whoever drinks the water that Jesus gives, whoever gives himself to Jesus will never be thirsty again. Eternity is put in us, guys. There's a big hole right here that people are filling with everything but God, with everything but Jesus. People are filling it with all the things of the world, and it fills them for a second. It fills them for a season. It feels good. It's very temporary. It fills them for a moment. It makes them feel good. It doesn't only fill them. It feels them. Amen? It doesn't only fill them, it feels them, it makes them feel good. And then at the end of the day, it makes them feel empty. It makes them feel more empty than when they started. Because that's just another thing on their checklist. Oh, maybe if I went to the gym and got my summer bod going on, maybe that'll make me feel better. If I did yoga, maybe that would make me feel better. If I got a boyfriend, maybe that would make me feel better. If I got a girlfriend, maybe that would feel better. Maybe if I got that raise, and maybe if I got all that money I wanted, that would make me feel better. There's a Christian rapper I listen to. His name's Bizzle. He's pretty dope. One of my favorite lines is he says, how did it feel when you made your first $1,000? It'll feel the same way when you make your first $1,000,000. Something, something, something. Something, 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 you're trying to reach the ceiling. I just hope you don't jump off it when you get there. Dude, bars. Right? Okay, so then John, I'm not cheating. John 16, so John, let me get John 16 up. Jesus said to her, okay, so in between that, she's like, give me some of this water. I need this water. Like, oh, this sounds so good. Hey, Jesus, where's your church? Hey, Jesus, what time are your services? And I'm like, oh, Jesus, you got her. Woo, she coming to church. She gonna get saved. Yes, good job, Jesus. Woo. Hey, Jesus, man, you the best, dude. And then all of a sudden, she's like, how do I get this water? He says, go call your husband and come here. And for those of you who know the story, you're like, oh, snap, it's about to get real. Let me get the next verse. I don't have a husband. Jesus says to her, yeah, well said, you don't have a husband. You're speaking the truth. For you have five husbands, and the one whom you're with now is not even your husband. So you did speak right, you don't have a husband. And I'm like, oh, everyone just go, ooh. Jesus, why'd you say that? Why'd you gotta bring up her boyfriend? Jesus, you had her. She wanted to come to church. She asked you where your church was. She asked you when the services was. Jesus, why'd you have to go there? Okay, So I'm going to get my volunteers up. Well, kind of volunteers. Daniel and Boston. Ooh. Come on, come on. Come on, quickly. Woo! Boston's the best. Everyone give a hand clap for Boston. Okay, Boston, let me get you on this side. Just for dynamic purposes. Oh, snap. Okay. Ew. So, we got two people over here. All right, let's put them both in high school. He likes it. And they both failed a test. Everyone say, ooh. Neither of them studied. Neither of them did their homework. Neither of them took notes. Neither of them did the work. But let me go over here. And so Daniel, he decides to go to somebody who he knows is going to tell him the truth. Daniel, tell me you got an F. Are you kidding? It's okay. You can. And you're a smart guy. Did you do your homework? No. Did you take notes? Nope. See, that's your problem. You just gotta take notes and do your homework, and I'm positive you'll get an A next time, right? Yeah. And since I can't have you take notes right now, that'll be pretty boring for everybody to watch. I'm gonna have you do some jumping jacks and some squats. So get to it. You gotta work hard, man. Do you want that A? Get to it. Take a lap around the sanctuary, please. Go. Dun, 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 dun. Boston, so they're both thirsty. They're both needing encouragement. Boston, he went to his home dog. He went to his home slice, who he knows is not going to tell him what he needs to hear. He's just going to tell him what he wants to hear, right? Man, that teacher's, hey, you got an F, bro? Man, that's dumb. What are you doing? I didn't tell you to stop. Keep going. Man, look at that chump over there. He's taking notes. He's studying. Man, you don't need that. That teacher's stupid. She gives everybody Fs, man. Nobody can even pass her class. That's impossible. Man, so both of these guys came up to me, thirsty. Where'd my water go? Found it. So these guys came up to me, and they're thirsty. They're needing encouragement. Boston did the short route. He got his water pretty quickly, right? Oh, man. So you feeling good? Yeah, you did your work? Right? Okay. Now, because Daniel did his work. Woo! Man, Boston got his water quickly, but his is room temperature. That's kind of nasty. So let's see what happens. Go ahead and take a drink. You guys are thirsty. So they take their next test, right? They take their next test without doing it. Wait, what happened? What's wrong? What does it taste like? Does it taste salty? See, that's what happens when you don't take your notes. So that's what happens when you don't. Okay, Boston, thank you. Here's some actual water. That one's sealed. So, I gave Boston salt water. Oh my god! Like literal salt water. Because Daniel worked hard, he's gonna get an A. Boston got his water quickly, and easily, but at the end of the day, it left him thirstier. It quenched him for a moment. It quenched him for a season, but it left him thirsty. So he took some more. Ah, you know what? Thank you so much. You're impressive. It quenched him for a moment, quenched him for a season, and he felt good at first. But then he needed more of it, and more of it, and more of it. It's been said that sin is like salt water. If you were stuck on an ocean and it was right there, you would drink it. And it would quench you, and it would leave you thirstier. And not only would it leave you thirstier, it would end up killing you. Sin's a lot like that, guys. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Thank you very much. Boston, here's to get the taste out of your mouth. Right? So back to the story. Why would Jesus say that? Which leads me to the title of my sermon. Are you ready, guys? Let me get it. Let's get it. Loving correction. Woo! Guys, correction doesn't feel good. Running laps and doing squats and doing jumping jacks doesn't feel good. Did it, Daniel? No, but it got you the good water. It got you the water that didn't make you thirsty anymore, right? Right? It wasn't what you wanted. It was what you needed. Right? Amen. You know what? Go back to Go to Proverbs 27:6, please. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So I gave Daniel wounds of a friend. I was like, hey, dude, you can do it. You just got to do this. You just got to do that. You got to work hard. Over here, Boston went to his, what would look like an enemy. What would look like a friend, but it was actually an enemy. And he gave him kisses. He's like, dude, that teacher's dumb, man. You're too cool for that class. You don't even need that, bro. And that's a lot of people, dude. That's a lot of people, guys. It's honestly harder to find the guy who will give you wounds from a friend, who will tell you the truth, who will tell you what you need to hear. It's a lot easier to find people over here that will encourage you in doing the wrong thing. Man, don't listen to your parents. They're dumb. They don't know what's going on. Are you kidding me? Your parents know exactly what's going on. They used to be where you are. I remember as a ninth grader, I was like, man, I was a dumb eighth grader. As a 10th grader, I thought I was a dumb ninth grader. Like, honestly, come to, and then you know that there are people out there that like, more likely than not, you know the people to go to. Especially if you're sitting in this room, man, I can see a good, like, two handfuls of people I can go to that'll tell me what I need to hear and not what I want to hear. So it's your choice. Who are you going to go to? Amen? Who are you guys going to go to? Are you guys going to go to the person that's going to push you and get you where you need to go? Right? Give me 4:14 again. Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. Yeah. Accept correction, guys. It's the best way to grow. It's the best way. It's not going to feel good in the moment, but you're going to keep moving. You're going to keep going. I mean, that's the reason I'm right here with the microphone is because I've received correction from Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara and Joel. I've let all of them mentor me. I've let all of them tell me what I'm doing wrong. And, like, it doesn't feel good in the moment, but, like, when you stop doing what's wrong and you start doing what's right, that feels 10 times better than doing what's wrong and being naive to it. And give me John 19. So again, putting myself in those shoes of the story. Jesus, what are you doing? You had her. I can't believe you said that, Jesus. Oh, gosh, Jesus, that's the opposite of evangelism. That's the opposite of evangelism, Jesus. Jesus is smart, guys. Amen? On the contrary, that's exactly what she needed. That's not what she wanted. That's what she needed. Her next reply to that is, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Those words, him calling her out on having five husbands and not even living with her husband at the moment, but living with her boyfriend, that calling out, letting somebody call you out, being bold enough as a Christian to call out. Remember what I said at the beginning? Jesus doesn't need Samaria. Samaria needs Jesus. Samaria needs you. So are you guys going to be bold enough to go out there and tell somebody what they need to hear? I remember one time this coworker saw me park, and so we walked to the little punch-in together. And she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Chris assigned me to another Saturday. I mean, you can assign me to Saturdays, but if you're going to do that, do it every Saturday. I already made plans. And I was like, well, you work as a waiter, so, like, your shift is going to, like, vary. And, like honestly, you should be thankful for a job. And she was like, ugh, what are you, my dad? But, like, and it blew my mind that she would even, like he could fire you. Would you rather have that? Right? And so if we're going to be bold and give out correction when it's needed, are we going to be bold enough to receive it when we need it? Which brings me to my third and final point. Man, that water. It's like hurting my lips. Again, thank you, Boston. Huh? We didn't do point two? Oh, my goodness. Point two. I didn't even put it. Oh. Pillow correction. Give me the water. Everyone say pillow correction. Oh, that's so much better. Woo! Pillow correction. As a lot of you know, I have a pretty hard medical history. And I had to take a lot of pills. And the physical pills didn't always help me, but it's the spiritual pills that I've been swallowing in my walk with Christ that have been helping me. And some of these suckers have been big old pills, man. Like being told, I remember when I was new to the church, and we're all grown up, we're all mature. I remember the topic of premarital sex came up, and as a new believer, I was like, oh man, like that's kind of weird that you would bring that up. How's that even your business? And then Pastor Drew said something that really stuck with me. It sticks with me to this day. He said, there's a spirit behind premarital sex, and it's a spirit of fear. Do I get an STD? Did I get her pregnant? And it's a scary feeling. He's like, but when you wait till marriage and you do it the right way, and like, then there's no fear. Then you could do it proudly. You've submitted it to God, and God blesses it. God made it. He made it for you, but he made it in the boundaries that he made it for. And then Pastor Drew says, like, oh, if me and my wife get pregnant, like we're gonna celebrate. I've never seen a high schooler celebrate pregnancy. On the quite the opposite. Right? And so those big pills that I'm swallowing, more than likely, you guys know what pill you need to swallow today. Right? I know I see it. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but like, correction's sometimes hard to give. I bet you Jesus didn't necessarily want to tell that woman that she's a floozy, basically. But it was what she needed to hear. So, I mean, like, whenever I don't want to receive correction and stuff like that, I always just tell myself. I kind of go to the extreme. To not beat myself up, but to like to encourage me and to the thing that helps me receive correction the best is love. So when you give out correction, give it out in a loving way. Every time I want to do something of my will and not his will, I think Jesus didn't go to the cross so I can behave like that. Jesus didn't go to the cross so I can disrespect my wife. Put that last part in for you. Jesus didn't go to the cross so I can binge watch Netflix. Jesus didn't go to the cross so I can hang out with my friends and so I can hang out with unsaved friends and never discuss him. Jesus didn't go to the cross, this one's for me, so I can play video games hours on end. Jesus didn't go to the cross so that during praise and worship, people can stand here. Sorry. But praise and worship is one of the strongest weapons we have. There have been days where I didn't feel like coming to church. There have been days where I've been sick. That's my pill, guys. My pill is a struggle with fear of like medical difficulties. So whenever I get sick, whenever I get a cold, whenever I get a sore throat, it's really scary. This is something I necessarily don't like to share, but everybody I met that was my age while fighting cancer, I met a good about 5 or 6 other people that were around my age. None of them made it, except me. And that's hard, because there's been days where like I struggle with that. And I think, like, God, why me? And one day I was praying about it, and I was like, God, what made me so special that I got to live and none of them did? And then he pointed out, he's like, you're not the only one who made it. And then he pointed out Ray Ramirez. Oh, wait, yeah, that's the last name, right? Yeah, Ray Ramirez, who also beat it. And I was like, oh, there's a connection. We go to church. And then he pointed out Jennifer, who used to come here, but she had to move. She beat it, and she used to come here. I was like, oh, man, 10,000 to my right, and 1,000 to my right, and 10,000 to my left. Am I saying that right, Paul? Dude, God plays favorites. That's a good thing, guys. We make it sound like a bad thing. Oh, that teacher plays favorites. But when you're God's favorite, you got supernatural provision. He goes before you and he makes a crooked path straight. Amen? I mean, that's just something I felt like I needed to share. Right? So like I said, there's your pill. Let me get point three. I've kind of already gone over it. What's your prescription? What are you guys dealing with? I mean, the doctor can prescribe whatever you need. He doesn't prescribe what you want. Today we're gonna have an altar call. If I can get the band up, we're gonna have an altar call. And right now I just want you guys to think. What's my prescription? What hard pill do I have to swallow? What correction do I have to receive from God? What correction do I have to make? What corrections in my life are going to make me closer? Because guys, Jesus is the vine, and God's the vine dresser. And he's cutting off, he can cut off certain sections. My mom used to have rose bushes in the front yard. And it used to blow my mind because she would go out there. And just as a rose finished blooming, she would go and cut it off. And one day I asked her, I was like, Mom, why do you do that? And she said, because that rose is about to die, and it'll die and it'll suck all the life out from the rose bush. Ask God, what do I need to cut off? When an artist makes a marble statue, he doesn't start off with, Michelangelo didn't just poof a statue up one day. He went to a big block of marble and he started chiseling the parts that he didn't need. He started chiseling off the parts that he didn't want. And that's us, guys. We want to be made in the image of God. We were made in the image of God. When you guys come up here, start thinking about what can God take off. Start thinking about what corrections do I need to make. 2017 is almost over, like Joel said. And the way that you're going to make 2018 your best year yet is by swallowing pills that you need to, by swallowing the big pills, by swallowing the hard pills that you need to swallow. Guys, let's go into 2018 ready to receive correction. Ready to receive correction. Who's ready to go into 2018 and receive correction? If you guys got your prescription, not only in your head, but in your heart, if you guys are ready to swallow a big pill, come up.